Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. It's Liverpool versus Everton at Goodison Park in the Derby, in the Premier League. I'm joined today by John, by Bailey and by David Maddock from the Mirror to preview this game. John Machen, first and foremost, it's the next biggest game of the season.
Yeah, it's the cup final.
There again. You go. For both of us this time.
No, it's an odd game for Everton, isn't it? Because after we beat them at Anfield, they totally went to pieces. And they've hardly recovered since. I think they've had a couple of wins at lower table teams.
They've had four wins since the 1st of December in the Premier League.
You know, for them, I think they may see this as redemption, which is a big worry.
And that's right. And listen, I'll tell you what, before we get into the game too much, David, I'll come to you on this. I was feeling pre-Watford very nervous for this game of football. In fact, we did our preview shows with Toffee TV, and me and Paul were like, you know, Liverpool are in a bit of a dip and all that type of stuff. Liverpool go out and snot Watford by 5-0, and suddenly the mood going into this now is completely the other way round. I think Everton will be looking at going, Liverpool are in great form again somehow, and Liverpool fans are going, we're going to absolutely wipe the floor with you.
It was the biggest win of the season, wasn't it? So it's not a bad time to pull out what, I mean, to me, quite possibly was the best performance at Anfield this season in many ways. Definitely sends a message. There were no nerves whatsoever. It helps when you get an early goal like that, brilliant goal, and then the second goal really, which is what Liverpool maybe haven't done quite so much this season, get that second goal to really steady things down. But I think there was real confidence in the performance. There was a belief, and that, I mean, that's a great sign. I agree that Everton, it is a big game. Klopp caused a lot of fume by saying it's their World Cup final, didn't he? I don't actually understand that, why Everton fans were so upset about that, because it is a massive game. It's a massive game for Everton. Massive game for Everton because they were in a difficult position in the league, and they actually, you know, need to do something. And Liverpool at home is the game where you really get up. The crowd will be up. The team will be up. So, you know, it was a game always going to be maybe the biggest game they've got left this season, and a huge game for them. And all of that still stands. They won at Cardiff, which took the pressure off, because they lost that and they were suddenly looking at the relegation battle. That takes the pressure off now. Cardiff, I don't think, can ever catch Everton from now, but if they'd have won, they could. But it's still huge, huge game for Everton, and that makes it dangerous for Liverpool no matter what the form is.
Yeah, Bailey, Everton really have got one thing to play for this season, yeah, as it stands, and right now that's derailing Liverpool's title challenge, isn't it? And yeah, that makes them a dangerous foe.
They won't care where they finish this season, how bad they've been, if it means that we don't win the title. Because the same way we can look back and say, that win at Tottenham Tottenham away at the start of the season was a crucial point for us. They will look at that and be like, that one loss to us at home, that's ruined their season. And they'll live off that for years and years to come. So I think, but that works in our favour as well. I think that this is going to be our sort of second United, where we had 3 draws in 4 going into that United game, and it all got a bit down in the dumps. Whereas now you look at the United draw as good. You've got the United draw, a 5-0 win at Watford sets you up perfectly to go to Goodison and do what you really should have done at Old Trafford, albeit with a worser team.
Okay, and what about, you know, thinking about Everton and thinking about how their fan base is and how they support their side. I think Goodison this season hasn't been a great place if you talk to Everton fans. In fact, a lot of them have not wanted to go for large portions of the season because of the form of the team. This is potentially one of the most gnarly atmospheres Liverpool are going to be playing in.
Yeah, I think they all feel aggrieved over what happened at Anfield. I mean, I think they did outplay Liverpool that day.
Yeah.
They probably haven't played any better all season than that. They certainly haven't played that well since. And they feel a sense of injustice that they were robbed, basically, of all 3 points from that stupid, you know, bouncing the ball off the bar by Pickford. And I think they will, and the players as well, they'll want to show that they are that good. Mm. You know, so, and on their day, you know, they can do you some damage, you know, proper Everton performance.
I think, you know, especially with the crowd behind them, David, I think, you know, the likes of Gylfi Sigurdsson, I believe, is their top scorer this season with 12. Richarlison's got 11. Then you're looking at Calvert-Lewin, 7. They've got goals at the top end of the pitch, but kind of actually a little bit like Liverpool, apart from the Watford game. They're not getting many from elsewhere, are they? But they are certainly still a dangerous side.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I don't agree that this is their only game left of the season for Everton, because they've got that win at Cardiff. It was a huge game for them, massive game. They desperately needed that win. Now they've got that. They can look around them and think, right, well, we can still finish top eight. And that is big. It's big for Silver. It's big for the team. Big for the club as they look forward, because obviously the plan is to move forward, to get closer to the top six, and so finishing eighth or even, you know, seventh possibly is important, and that's what they've really got been aiming for. But obviously, you know, the thing with Liverpool, clearly, that, you know, that's going to be huge motivation. The crowd will be up for it. There's absolutely no doubt. I've done all the Everton home games this season, and the crowd have been not happy with a lot of stuff that's been going on since at least sort of November, and quite rightly, because the performances haven't been good enough. The problem they've got has been in midfield, definitely, and. You look. That's where the game will be won and lost, definitely on Sunday. And they've still got weaknesses there. Garnaguy has, you know, had his problems because he wants to go. He's still playing well, but alongside him, they've had problems all season. Gomez is a talented player, but, you know, English football and the pace of it makes it. It's tough for him at times, and the pace of this game might be, you know, it might well be. A bit
too much.
Yeah, but that's where it'll be won and lost, and that's where probably their biggest weakness is.
Have they got any pressure on them going into this game then?
I think, honestly, if they'd have lost at Cardiff, then it would have been massive pressure, because you look at the fixtures Everton have got coming up, and the gap would have been so close with them and Cardiff. Only 6 points between Everton and the bottom three. So that win, it's taken the pressure off completely, absolutely, completely. So it is a free hit. But obviously the fans, you know, want a win, clearly. And so, there's that pressure, definitely. The same for both teams. It's the Merseyside derby. It's one of the biggest in the world, you know.
Bailey, how do you think Liverpool will react to the pressure on them? Because, you know, we know that we've had the better of Everton over the last 10, 15 years. Mm. We've obviously finished higher than them a lot of times. We've won loads more derbies than they have. But to be fair to Everton, we've struggled at Goodison Park recently. Mm. You know, and I say struggled, we've not taken a defeat in a few, but I think we've drawn 4 of the last 5 games there. Mm.
Yeah.
It's been a tough place for Liverpool to get points.
Yeah, and it feeds into the narrative. Obviously, if we went and drew at Goodison, that's going to feel like the hardest loss, even though we haven't lost. It's going to be hard to take for Liverpool fans. But I think that, finally, initially at the start, they were in a good run of form, and we were the initial sort of spark that caused the downfall for them. Whereas now we've had that time to figure out really what their weaknesses are. And obviously we've looked back to last night, the set pieces that we were taking, the goals we scored off of them, and I think that's a massive fear for them. I know they've been okay recently with the way that they've set up with them, but there's a massive tiff amongst the Everton fans.
All
about
they talk
marking.
About is zonal marking,
yeah,
isn't it?
So about this zonal marking sort of crisis that they've got. And I think we can look at that and be like, Trent, Robertson, every time you're close to that in their half, you get a ball in every set piece. Trent, with those venomous crosses that he provided so many times last night, I think they'll be scared. they'll look at Trent last night and be like, he's going to be a key man for Liverpool.
John, David mentioned the middle of the park being a key battleground in this fixture. I think, you know, Liverpool have got the better of the midfield battle for the majority of games this season. I think what we're seeing now with the likes of Fabinho playing in that six role on his own, or sometimes in a double pivot with the likes of Wijnaldum, they're really taking the game by the scruff of the neck. Who do you imagine Jurgen Klopp will pick in this game? And, you know, I'm thinking Milner's experience might be something that we want. Or do you bring the captain back in, Jordan Henderson?
Me, I think Henderson's coming back in. He's not going to miss two games on the bounce if he's fit. And I think Milner put a real shift in last night for an hour or so. And he's coming off the back of playing full back and all over the place, isn't he? So I can see Henderson getting the nod over him. But I think Fabinho and Wijnaldum almost picked themselves at the moment. They're playing so well, both of them. And midfield is key, so you certainly need your best guys in there. Oh, having said that, I mean, I think our midfield group now is fantastic. I think the range of abilities we've got in there are terrific. So.
And the sort of different skill sets that each of these midfielders have.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I love that. I love the midfield and the balance between the individual players and stuff. And David, I think one of the things that, you know, we'll be talking about in the build-up to this game is obviously Bobby Firmino, and does he come back into this fixture, I think. Is there a rush to get Bobby in after Mane's performance?
Well, it takes the pressure off, definitely, because what you don't want to do is rush him back if he's not ready. And actually, Klopp won't do that. I mean, Firmino himself will want to play if he's got any chance of playing, obviously. But Klopp is a manager, rare manager, who won't rush players back. And you've seen that a lot. And a great example is Oxlade-Chamberlain, who can offer so much to Liverpool still this season. But Klopp says he will not take a risk on him, even though he's actually fit and training and ready. And he could, you know, he could be on the bench already.
Wow.
But he won't do that, and he could be another month away before you actually see him in the first team squad because of Klopp insistence. And I think he won't risk Firmino. And Firmino, no matter what he says, there was no chance he had any chance of playing against Watford, for sure. So unless he trains every day between the Watford game and the Everton game, there's no chance he'll start either on Sunday. So and Mane, as you point out, or Salah or Origi, they offer real alternatives now.
Is that something that we can do, really? Can we use this to our advantage now? Because I think against Watford, they had no clue that Mane was playing centre forward, because nobody in the world knew Mane was going to be playing centre forward there against Watford. Nobody thought. For all the fan channels and all the journalists and all the fan media and every Liverpool fan around the world, not one person thought Mane was going to be playing number 9. Mm-hmm. Can you now go, Salah's going to play number 9, because they think Mane's going to... You know what I mean? Does that give us options where Everton are going, I've got no frigging idea who to plan for here, because if Salah plays there, we've got to play differently to how Mane plays there. Mm-hmm. And if Origi plays there, you know, Pickford's got to be careful, and all this type of stuff. So who do you think will start up front for Klopp?
I think it's going to be a nightmare for managers for the rest of this season to figure us out, even when we have an injury problem with Firmino. And you named your podcast, didn't you? How do we fill the Firmino hole? And it was like a...
Paul named that one, not me. And he was very proud of that title. And YouTube comments seem to really enjoy it as well.
Good. Well, I think everyone was thinking in the aspect of how are we going to like for like replace it. And the thing with Firmino is you can't. He's so good at what he does. There's nobody else in football that can do that. Is that versatile around that box area? And everyone was like, Sturridge is too lazy. You can't fill that role. Origi's. We haven't seen enough of him. Nobody expected to go that. Nobody expected Origi and Mane to just swap. And I think that Silva's going to look at our team and be like, oh, if they bring Firmino back in, we'll have to prepare for that. I mean, if we have to prepare for Divock up front, Mane on the left. For me, preferringly, I'd like Firmino back in because he's just brilliant. He's as good as Origi and Mane were last night. I think he's the best centre forward we've got at the club. But if a second option has to be Origi and Mane that's just come off the back of 5-goal win, oh no, what a shame.
No, that's it. And John, listen, I think, you know, we've got options in the centre of the park. We've got options at the front. It feels like with that win against Watford, with the players coming back to fitness, you know, Firmino's close. Gomez is another week closer. Lovren might be close for this game. That everything just seems to be moving in the right direction for us at the moment.
Finally, yeah. I mean, who would have thought we could have done so well without Firmino? You know, because he is such an integral part of how that front three function, you know, his sort of false nine sort of stuff. But the key really is going to be Salah, mm-hmm. because he's such a handful. He frightens the life out of everyone. And you saw the performance against Watford. Our right side of the pitch was just devastating. Even though he didn't score, he terrified the life out of their defence, and he's going to do the same to Everton wherever he plays.
And all putting Salah up there on the right hand side does is it means that they have to, the team have to really think about it. You know, they have to maybe double Salah at times, and all that does is create space for Trent, who after last night's performance, you
know, if Trent can maintain that level and the accuracy of those crosses, then you know it's a devastating weapon.
Well, you look at it and you think, he's got three assists the other night. You get Robertson there with two assists, I think. We're gonna give him the Origi one, even though maybe it wasn't, David. But that's how Liverpool play. That's how Liverpool break teams down, isn't it? We use modern fullbacks and we get them forwards and we pin the team back and we say, go on, try and stop us.
Yeah. Hey, on that, right at the end of the game last night, right at the end, Klopp goes to the cop and he gives his punch in the air and stuff and they loved it. He walked off and Robertson and Trent were walking off together and he ran in between them, put his arms around them, and then he went to Robertson, he went, pointed at Alexander-Arnold and then went back to him. And he was clearly saying, he's got more assists than you tonight,
mate. Because
they've
had. Because of
the bet they've had. He was clearly saying that to him. So even Klopp's like now definitely trying to get the rivalry going between them to increase the assist. You
well,
know.
Did you, from where you were, did you hear the cop before Klopp give it that?
Because we booed
him because he didn't give
he
us
didn't
it.
He didn't do it, I know, yeah.
And doesn't that tell you something about Liverpool fans and that unique
it was,
bond that
it was a
have?
Great moment, actually, when he pretended to walk away and then ran back, and it was a big moment. I loved it when he went to Robertson and Trent. But going back to your original point, it's funny, because after the game, I asked Klopp in the press conference about when he decided, at what point did he decide to put Manny in, because it was such a surprise. And even the Watford manager admitted that he had no clue Manny was going to play there. And Klopp said, absolutely straight away, it was the first decision and the only decision, and we stuck with it straight away after the United game. And then he explained that Mane brings in those tight areas, obviously it's going to be tight with Watford, good defenders, going to fill the box. And he said in the tight areas, he's quick, he's got great movement, he's really sort of nimble on the ball and can move the ball around. And that he really did expect him to perform like that. Obviously didn't expect the goals, but expected him to create the space and allow others to utilise it. And you were saying no one can basically do what Firmino does, and that's true. But actually, Mane came close to doing a good impression of Firmino last night.
And Origi wouldn't have done anything like that.
He wouldn't. And Sturridge absolutely wouldn't. Sturridge was a disastrous substitution at Old Trafford on Sunday because he was the total opposite of what Firmino brings. And Liverpool really suffered. They were playing well until Firmino went off and then suffered badly. Mm. And Klopp made a mistake in bringing him on, Sturridge on. But he certainly realised that mistake and made up for it with his decision last night.
Yeah, just to add to that, I think that as much as we say the hole that Firmino leaves, when you bring Mane in central, there's a hole on that left wing because the work rate that he gives dropping back, that's so hard to sort of duplicate at the same time. And I think Origi did a fantastic job of coming back, covering, when he comes out and sort of sees balls out for goal kicks, it's like that's the level of expectations that the front three brings is why it's so hard to get any of them out because their level is so high. So when you've got Divock Origi who comes in, who's been in and out centre forward, it's not really worked for him to sort of reinvent him on the left wing and to have that good of a game. Massive credit to him. And that's why I wouldn't have any problem with him playing there because I think he proved last night that he's got the ability to, which I don't think anybody, as well as seeing Mane in the centre, saw Origi as a left winger.
I know, especially when Shaqiri sat on the bench. Yeah. You know, you think, does Shaqiri go over on the right-hand side? I thought Salah would play up front or play Mane on the left-hand side. But now, coming back to the Everton game, before we get into those preferred 11s, because it feels like where we're naturally going right now, we've got an ad break, and our ad breaks are normally videos that we filmed. I'm going to level with you. Me and David haven't filmed this video yet, so the ads for the newsroom show that is going to be absolutely amazing. I promise you this. We've done two newsroom shows so far together. They've been brilliant every single time. I have no idea what we're going to talk about in this clip, so you tell me when we come back.
Dropping points is normal. The last couple of years, City didn't drop many points. And Liverpool have not dropped many points this season. And it's changed perception. Now, maybe as well because of, I don't know, society's changing, social media, whatever, you know. I mean, that's a totally different conversation, but people are, it's a more and more instant society, more and more people want, and it's a more and more reactive society, because maybe there's more outlet to actually react. Maybe down the pub everybody was always going, this is a disgrace, just because you've drawn one game, but you just
now you've got Twitter, this narcissistic echo chamber.
Echo chamber, you carry on.
And it's all sort of self-fulfilling, isn't it? And once one blows up, another blows up, and you just see it, and it permeates your life at all times.
Absolutely, but I think it amplifies it, and it also influences other people far more. So it's almost like, you know, it's like panic when there's a crisis, and everybody, one person panics and the rest panic, and they're all legging for the exit, you know. That's exactly what's happening. Liverpool draw a game and everyone's legging for the exit, and it's like, just stop, you don't have to leave.
I told you, fantastic. The show's over on the redmentv.com. It's £5 a month. First month is free. If you like it, keep it. If you don't like it, fuck it off. It's fine, you won't have been charged a penny. That's advertising Redmen TV style.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Into the preferred 11s, David, I'll start with you because that's what we normally do. I'll go through your sides, and maybe if you can explain some of the decision making around it. So we got Alisson in goal. I think that's obvious. Yep. He's not Mignolet. Trent, Van Dijk, Lovren and Robertson are your back four.
Yep.
What's the thinking behind bringing Lovren back in over Joel Matip?
Well, first of all, I'd say he ain't bringing Lovren back in. He won't. Lovren will be fit for the game, but he'll have trained all week. He'll be fit, but he won't bring him in, obviously. But for me, Lovren, I mean, we've spoken about this before on different shows, and Lovren brings something that Liverpool's defence doesn't have. And you look at the stats, and Lovren's been outstanding this season. Probably, in a way, his stats are even better than Van Dijk's. And it's no coincidence that Liverpool, when they went through that run of not conceding goals, Lovren was a big part of that. And people forget that. And since he's been injured, obviously they've had a few defensive problems, but since he was injured, they've conceded a few goals. And you know, for all the fact, and I know this is going to get a lot of hate, but for all the fact that a lot of Liverpool fans still don't trust him, I think for the errors, the occasional errors that he makes, he brings a lot to the side. And you know, I like him. I like Gomez as a partner for Van Dijk, and I like Lovren as a partner for Van Dijk. And that's not to say Matip hasn't done a good job, because he has. He's great, and he's good on the ball. He brings the ball out brilliantly. But there's just that aggressiveness about Lovren that I really like. And also, he played in a World Cup final, and he played alongside an absolutely terrible centre-half. Terrible. He was so bad that the guy played, I can't even pronounce his name, guy plays in a World Cup final, and not one Premier League club tries to sign him. You know what Premier League clubs are like when anybody does well at the World Cup? They're straight out there. Nobody was interested in it. That's how bad he was. And Lovren nursed him through to the World Cup final. Jesus Christ.
He was, he was a donkey of a centre-half. The fella with the ponytail, isn't he?
Yeah, that's it. He's brilliant. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. So that tells you that Lovren's better than people think.
That's brilliant.
I'd have to say, though, that if Lovren's stats are better than Van Dijk's, it's saying something about statistics rather than...
Yeah, well, I mean, fair. Obviously, yeah. But stats can tell you certain things. Stats can tell you Lovren's not as bad as the fans think. That for sure.
I know, I agree. I actually think there's a partnership growing between Matip and Van Dijk at the moment. And, you know, I'm very much a bit old school, and I like, you know, the defence to kind of say the same. I know John's exactly the same for that. You know, sometimes I just like
to
see them.
Don't change if you don't have to.
Yeah, I think so. But I agree with you. I think if I was to rank the centre-halves, I'd put Matip fourth on the list. You know, I think Lovren's a much better
centre-half. I don't think the fans hate Lovren so much because he's poor. They hate it because he's got a disaster waiting to happen in him. Every now and again, he'll just go to pieces in a game, and people are just scared to death that this is the game.
It was Tottenham in last October. I mean, a year last October was probably his last one of those.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was after the Manchester United game. The Manchester United game might have come after it, but you're talking 12 months at least since his last disastrous game.
He hasn't played all that much, though, has he?
Yeah. Lovren, for me as an individual, is not he's not a bad player by any stretch of imagination. It's the fact that he plays, what, 8 games and then gets injured or ill. And it's that disruption that he causes the defence. So it's not almost as his own fault. If he could stay fit, I'm sure he would never be taken out, apart from Gomez. It's the fact that you have to make do with planning him getting injured, and then that's what you say about disrupting a back line. It's not that he's not gifted or talented. It's that when he plays 8 games, those next few games when he's not in, when you have to bed somebody new in, that's where the problems occur. Mm-hmm. And that's, like I say, it's just, I'd love him to be fine if he could stay fit, but he just never is.
He's always got the sniffles, hasn't he? Yeah. Onto your midfield then, David. You got it looks like a 4-2-3-1. And you've got Keita in a more advanced role. I'm hesitant to say 10. Maybe it's just a 3-man midfield with a double pivot.
Yeah, it's a double pivot, really. And Keita's sort of playing in a more attacking role out of that 3, if you like. So not quite a 10, but more or less maybe playing the role that Lallana sometimes played a couple of seasons ago when he was so good. Not quite a 10, but playing advanced and with 2 behind him. I'd like to see that against Everton, because, as I say, Everton's got if they've got a problem, it's in midfield, and I think Liverpool need to be quite inventive in midfield to cause Everton problems there.
Okay, and then you've gone Salah, Firmino, Mane up front, which I think it would be everybody's preferred if they were fit.
I mean, no matter how well Mane played and no matter what options you give, that front three is absolutely the one you want to see. I'll say now, I'd be really surprised if Firmino starts on Sunday. Really surprised.
Bailey, you've gone the same back 5 as last time, include the keeper in that, the same midfield as last time, and then you've thrown Salah, Firmino, Mane up front. What's the thinking behind Fabinho, Wijnaldum and Milner in the midfield?
So, Milner came off about 60 minutes, I think, John was telling me, as a rough estimate. So, to be honest, I think Henderson will start. I think when you're benching players and you're bringing them in for the minutes before a big game, I think that's the clear sign if they're going to start the next game. But for me, Milner couldn't have put in a better performance to stake his claim of being in the midfield again. And I think that people forget that he was, at the start of the season, he was brilliant. I mean, and we did a few Man of the Match shows where he was consistently in the top 3 of our votes. And I think that he's just, that cater role, I was saying in the final word, that is exactly what Milner embodied last night in the sense that he pushes balls when he needs to, he comes back, drops and defends when he has to, and I think that we're going to need that at Goodison. We're going to need that guy that can harry a defender but also come and cover for Trent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thinking there.
And John, this is really interesting for your starting 11, preferred 11, apologies. You've gone Fabinho, Gini, Hendo in the middle of the park, but you've actually gone with Salah on the right, Mane in the nine, and Origi on the left again.
Yes.
Only because I don't really think you should take a chance on Firmino, even if he's hovering around and wants to play. I think he's too important to take a chance with, so I'd leave him out. I think Origi is a better option than Sturridge, but we seem to get a lot more out of him on the left than we do when he plays as a number nine. So, Mane's fine, isn't he, as a centre-forward. The header should prove to me that he can be a centre-forward, you know. I thought it was terrific. Yeah. I'd stick with something that's working.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was so close to
that. I think the midfield is the key to the game because it's so frenetic derby games. You've got to try and establish some kind of base and in midfield and try and control the game and then control the pace yourself.
Is that Fabinho then the key
Fabinho
man?
Fabinho and Wijnaldum, I think, are the two.
They're the guys, aren't they? I mean, the speed, David, with which they move the football. I mean, Fabinho certainly, two touch. It's all he ever seems to need on the ball. You know, one to control, one to play the pass. And it's that speed of thought and that accuracy of pass that kind of sets him apart. And then add into that the fact that he's an elite defensive player.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he had his best game for Liverpool last night in against Watford. He was absolutely outstanding. One thing I've noticed about him, and I was thinking this when I was watching him, thinking how good he played Fabinho last night. It was, he's not quite yet produced that performance against one of the sort of elite teams, if you like. And that's in part because of the pace of the English game. And Liverpool's system and him sort of fitting into that, because when he plays at that level, where you think wow, he not only does all the defensive work but he moves the ball forward brilliantly, and like compare him to some of the great Liverpool midfielders, and one springs to mind immediately, Didi Hamann. And Didi was a fantastic player, and he controlled the midfield and he patrolled that defensive area. But he didn't pass the ball forward much. And Fabinho does all that. But sometimes he threads ball through and you think, how the hell did you even see that? And combine that with Wijnaldum's ability to keep the ball.
Yeah.
He's got to be one of the best in Europe at the moment. When he's got possession and people are challenging him, how he somehow manages to keep the ball and
body
recycle
across
it.
Them so quickly.
All the time. He lost the ball once last night, and I was like, wow, he lost the ball under a challenge. And I think it might have been Troy Deeney smashed him, and he actually lost it. And I was like, it's so rare. But the combinations of those two gives Liverpool the ability to get the ball through the congestion of midfield. Wijnaldum in holding players off, turning and still getting it forward, and Fabinho picking those passes. I would like to see Fabinho take the next step now, which is to produce what was undoubtedly a really high quality performance against Watford, against in an even more furiously paced game, or against a really top side.
The only one that I can think of that he's had that performance is, I was thinking Arsenal. You know, when we beat them 4-0, the closest I think he's come to it. I think. Mm-hmm. And that was redemption for his performance the first time at Arsenal away, because I don't think he had a very good game there. I thought Torreira had much the better of him, and I think he learned. But then they're not, you know, that frenetic pace against Arsenal.
He is definitely that player that you saw against Watford. There's no doubt, and it will come against the top sides. And it's just, you know, it's
a progression, isn't
well,
it?
Well, and that's why Klopp left him out for so long.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even in the squad for the first, like, eight games, was he, of the season? Mm. So John's right, it's a progression, and it's like, it comes. And he is an elite midfielder, fair play to him.
Okay, we got some, we normally at this point we do rival fixtures. I'm tempted to just put City's game in this nowadays.
I literally do not look below a second in the league anymore.
I still thought Tottenham would have something to say until last night. And then the way that they sort of played and the manner in which they conceded the second, I think they might be done now, and I'm ready to write Tottenham off finally.
Pochettino said it himself. He said in his post-match that all we can fight for now is third. He says, we're not on the level of Liverpool, we're not on the level of Manchester City, and we've just got to do what we do to keep the position that we're in.
He probably should have just kept Harry Kane out, because is it two losses since he's come back in? Which is mad to think how well they did without him. You know, the performances Son was putting in, and then Harry comes back in, and it's mad. But anyway, Spurs play Arsenal at 12:30. Bournemouth at home to Manchester City at 3 o'clock on Saturday, so we'll all be watching that one. Slash, I'll have it on the One Football app, just notifying me of goals, because be arsed watching that and getting disappointed when they score goals. United play Southampton. Fulham have got a derby game against Chelsea just down the King's Road, is it? Are they the King's Road? From each other. And then obviously the big one on Sunday, 4:15, Everton versus Liverpool. I am going to ask you all for your score predictions before we wrap up. So David Maddock, at Maddock Mirror on Twitter. What is your score prediction?
Right, I'm going for a 1-1. And I'm going to say, to qualify that...
Come on here and predict the draw.
I'm predicting a draw. And I'm saying, a draw is not a disaster. People thinking, Liverpool can't afford to drop points anymore. If they drop any points, City are going to win the title. Absolute rubbish. City will drop points. Liverpool will drop points. This is Liverpool's toughest away game left. It's possibly their toughest game. So if you drop points in that and it's your toughest game left, then fair enough. I think a draw, I actually genuinely think draw is not a bad result, and people need to just get their head around that a little bit.
Okay. Bailey?
3-0.
3-0 to
Liverpool.
That's how you do it, David. That's how you do it. 3-0 to Liverpool. Blind optimism in the face of adversity, in the face of pressure. 9 years we've been doing these shows, I've never predicted the Liverpool loss. And when I think Liverpool are going to lose,
well, I'm not predicting Liverpool
draw, and I think I've predicted draws 5 times in 9 years. Now, I don't think I've got my score predictions right very often, but that is how you do it. That's what we're used to here. John Machin.
Well, I agree. There will be more points dropped by both sides before the end of the season, but I don't think this is the day. I think after the draw at United, we'll win this one. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll win a 2-0.
2-0. Okay, I'm going 2-1 to Liverpool. I think... I hope that we give them hope. I hope that they go 1-0 up, and then we come back and just sort of dangle it, just sort of pull it out the pond, and then they're all miserable on Sunday evening, and we've ruined yet another weekend. My brother's a Blue, everybody knows this, and he has thoroughly enjoyed Everton not playing at weekends because he hasn't had his weekend ruined in a few.
Yeah.
But Ped and Baz will tell you that they're nearly 3 weeks unbeaten, because they've not played a lot of football over the last 3 weeks. So they're hanging the hat on that at the moment. Let's hope that we end their massive unbeaten streak of one game of football in 3 weeks. Thank you very much for watching, gents. Thank you very much for joining me. We're going off to record that newsroom next. Don't forget to like, subscribe to the Red Men TV on YouTube, and leave us your thoughts on this game in the comments section below. We'll be back with the starting 11 later on. And of course, we will be here to hold your hand and give you a digital cuddle, sure you need it, if we do draw. And we will be here to rejoice in our victory if we win after the game. See you next time. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.